You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Makers Church, good morning. How are we doing today? It is so good to be together, to see you all. You can have a seat. For those of you here in our courtyard, welcome, welcome, welcome. And for those of you joining us online, we are so glad that you are with us as well. Hey, if we've never met, my name is Derek, and I have the absolute privilege of serving here as our lead pastor. And I'm going to start the morning. Hi. It's so good to see people that haven't been here in a while. Love you. Honest with what I'm aiming to do this morning in this sermon. And what I'm trying to do this morning, I'm going to tell you up front, is I want to change your mind. I know, you're probably like, oh no, oh no, here he is, he's going to come assert some political position. Or what I want to change your mind about this morning is what I believe to be the number one thing that is keeping the church from being effective. The number one thing that's keeping the church from being successful. And I believe that that thing is the way that you and I, the way that we have been taught to think about the mission of the church. What I want to do is replace the way you think about the mission of the church. What is the mission of the church? What is our mission? Is it to create a place where we come and gather together every week in coffee that will serve us, or a place that will help us grow closer to God? That seems like a good thing to do. Is it a place where the gospel is preached? What is the mission of the church? Is it a place where the pastor gets up and tells you he wants to dress this morning? The reason why I want to change the way you think is because I think our problem isn't a thinking problem, it sure is the problem. It's so easy to point the finger at the culture. The culture is the problem. What culture? There's a billion cultures on this planet. I know we mean like pop culture or the culture of the world, but sure, are there problems there? Yeah, but I think there's a cultural problem in the church. And I think we're more apt as the church to change our own culture than we are to change the culture of the world. And I think perhaps one might lead to the other. And I think it's a dangerous culture. I think it's a culture that will render us ineffective and unsuccessful to be the church. It will render us ineffective and irrelevant. So what is culture? What is culture? We love to throw that word around, but I think oftentimes we don't stop and pause to think about, I'm trying to understand culture. And at the base level, what culture is, it's patterns of learned attitudes and behaviors passed on from generation to generation. So think about it like the ABCs. Attitudes and behaviors create culture. And those attitudes and those behaviors are passed on to us from generation to generation, and we can inherit a culture, but we can also propagate it. And so there's a cultural problem in the church. So let's break these down just a little bit so we can all come from the same place. Attitudes, what is an attitude? An attitude is the way you think, the way you feel, and the way you act. An attitude is the way you think, the way you feel, the way you act. And that drives behavior. Behavior is the way you go about acting, the good and the bad habits, the things that you do, the way you spin your actions is your behaviors. And all of those things culminate into culture. And I know we would be tempted to think there's a cultural problem, we've got to change the culture. But what all the psychology and sociology studies point to is that we actually can't start at changing the culture. We actually can't even change anyone's behavior. In fact, we can't even deduce it back to changing the way someone acts or even the way they feel. But what we have the most ability to do is replace the way people think. When it comes to our attitude, we must start with the way that we think. Then it might change the way we act about it. It will change our behaviors. It will affect the culture of the church. We're not worried yet about the culture of the world or the culture of this or the culture of that. There are many cultures. They're all flawed. But I think what the scriptures point us to, you know, you've heard this old saying, you are what you eat. Yes. Maybe that's true. But you also are what you think. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen. One of my favorite quotes, and a bunch of people get credit for this. I don't know who actually said it at first, but I've preached on it before. Watch your thoughts, the way you think, because they become your words. Watch your words because they become your actions. Watch your actions because they become your habits. Watch your habits because they become your character. Watch your character for it becomes your destiny, or what I would assert, it becomes your culture. So, yeah, maybe it's true you are what you eat, but you are also what you think. So today I want to change the way you think of your mind, Vict Will. Now, I know you're probably like, wait a minute, shouldn't Pastor Mark be up here trying to change the way we think because he's way smarter than Derek? It's true. And I love the way that Pastor Mark challenges us to think differently. Normally I'm up here just shouting about something exciting. But today I want to change the way you think about something specific. I want to change the way you think and in church here. And if we can't answer what it's... So what kind of bad thinking do we have when it comes to mission? The mission of the church. I think, first of all, sometimes the bad thinking... Now, COVID has really helped us to rethink this. The church is not a place... Pastor Mark preached about this 2 weeks ago. The church is not a place, it is a people. It's what the church is. So when you ask the question, what is the mission of the church? It's not, what is the mission of that church on that corner? It's not, what is the mission of the church with that name or with that logo or with that website or with that great Instagram page? Maybe you're really good with the culture and you got a TikTok. We don't have a TikTok, so we're missing. But the church is not a place. The church is a people. The church is not a place you go. It is a people that you belong to. Amen. The church is not a commodity. It does not have goods and services like a commodity does. The church is not a commodity. It is a community. Amen. Pastor Mark preached so brilliantly on this a couple weeks ago. So we've got to change the way we think about it. When we think of Maker's Church, I want you to think of each other. When you think of Maker's Church, when you think of the church, the big C church we like to call it, the global church, think about the names and the faces and the stories and the history of the community of Jesus, of the body of Christ. The other critical flaw that I think we have is we think of church as a service. And what service means most of the time, if we're honest, is it means serve us. We think the church is a place that is here to serve us. But instead, it is a community that is here to serve each other. The church is not a place that is here to serve us. We are the church, and we are here to serve each other. Pastor Shalise preached about this last week on service. She talked about the fruit that would grow up and out of our lives because of our deep connection to Jesus and how that fruit would look and feel and taste. And it would be the good fruit of serving one another. So the church isn't a place. The church isn't a service. What would happen if we changed the way we think, even with our expectations, when we showed up to a place like this and we realized it's not a place, it's a people? And we showed up not looking to have our needs met. We're so needy, aren't we? Instead of showing up to look and have our needs met, We were looking for opportunities to serve the needs of others. This is the secret that Jesus talks about that brings fulfillment, that brings fullness, that brings joy, that brings hope, that brings the abundant life, is when we move from being a selfish person to a selfless person. In some weird, paradoxical, upside-down way, when we give ourselves away, when we pour ourselves out, it creates room for God to fill us up. We come so needy, we come so hungry to be served. Some of you are, but not all of us. Are we supposed to go overseas or go to that place or go to that far-off landing to be going, to be departing in so many ways? Are we supposed to be setting ourselves apart from the world, creating a holy huddle so that we're safe from the scary things out there? Or are we supposed to be focused on simply preaching the gospel? The rooftops, trying to convince people that we're right and they're wrong. Is that the mission of the church? Love it. I think the biggest way that we've lost our way is to deduce the mission of the church to living by a certain set of rules, by do's and don'ts. We love this and we hate it. We love it because, oh, it's so helpful. Just tell me what to do. Just tell me what not to do. At least I'll understand it. You won't do it, but you'll understand it. Clear. We've deduced it to that. We approach the Bible, the scriptures, as a roadmap. We go to it looking for turn-by-turn directions. But the problem is all of the things that exist in this culture of the world weren't even in existence at the time the Bible was written. The Bible's not a roadmap. It doesn't have an answer to every one of your questions. The Bible is a compass. The Bible points us to Jesus. The Bible is full of truth that can help us guide our lives, but it will not answer the question that you have about something you don't even know how to ask the question about. But it can guide your life, and it can shape the way you think, and it could create an intimacy with the Father that can give you insight, that can inspire you and compel you. Look, the church isn't the only one with a cultural problem. I work as a firefighter, and we have a cultural problem in the fire department, just like every industry does. The problem with our cultural problem is that it was keeping us being successful in our mission. It was making us ineffective in the way of killing firefighters. We had a toxic culture that was keeping us unsafe. It was killing firefighters, too many, time and time again. And it was a cultural problem. And so what did we do as the fire department? We said, hey, we have to understand this better. So we got the best researchers on the planet. We got the best people who could speak into this. And they said, you've got a culture problem. And so where did they start? They started by replacing the way we think. The root problem that we had is that we were being guided by SOGs and SOPs, standard operating guidelines, standard operating procedures. Every time a firefighter did something stupid, they'd make a rule about it. You can't do that. Every time a firefighter died, they would do a big report, and they would say, oh, we can't do this anymore. And all of a sudden, we had so many rules that we couldn't even keep track of. And even if we knew the rules, we broke the rules because we thought they were stupid rules, and firefighters kept dying, rendering us ineffective at our job. You cannot protect life, property, and the environment if you don't make it to the call, or if you die while you're there. So we had a cultural problem that we had to change. We had to shift being led by orders, do's and don'ts, to being led by objectives, by the big picture. And so we developed something that we just stole, which is the best thing to do, just steal it. The military had been working on this for a long time, this concept, this thing called mission-driven culture. Mission-driven culture. This replaced our thinking not with the what or the what not, but with the why. We had to start making decisions based off of the why. What was the mission of the fire department? And it was led by the mission to protect lives, property, and environment. It's filtered through our values as an organization. And then entrusting us to do the right thing with those things in mind. We made a shift away from the long list of do's and don'ts and orders. We started being guided by our mission. And I believe that this is the kind of culture shift we need to see in the church. For far too long, we have been guided by the what, the method, the strategy, the tradition. We love those things. We've made them sacred. Sacred cows, we call them. Whether it's the format of a worship service or when you gather or where you gather and how you gather, we've given more to our ecclesiology, the way we gather, than we have to our missiology, the mission of the church. What is the mission of the church? We can become so formulaic and the how has become more important than the why. We love these things. In fact, we move churches, we change churches because we don't like the way they did that or the change they made on that thing. And it's stupid stuff. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if a church stands up or sits down too much or you wish they did this or they did that. Those things are irrelevant if they aren't being guided by the mission. So the culture change, the thinking that I want us to shift our minds about is what is the church here to do? What is our mandate? What is our mission? And I love that Jesus didn't make us guess about it. He was so clear after he died, resurrected from the grave. He went and visited his disciples. Boo! He scared them. This is weird. We don't know what to do with this. And then he made it worse. He said, I'm here, but I'm leaving. And I've got a job for you to do. Here's your mission. In Matthew 28, verse 19, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. But before I unpack that again, whenever you see a therefore in the scriptures, whenever you see a therefore, you got to go back and figure out why it was there. This one started with a therefore. So before that, in Matthew 18, it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. You ever hate it when you ask for an answer and they just say, because I said so. We do it as parents all the time. I do it with my kids all the time. Why? Because. Because I have the authority to say so. And this is what Jesus is establishing here. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Because it's up to me, therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey the things I've commanded you. And I want to stop here for a moment because I think this is one of the ways we've lost our ways in the what and in the how of the church. We have confused ourselves as being the authoritative body who has say on the what and the how people do in the church. Jesus already said, all authority has been given to me. Jesus has the authority. I wonder what would happen if we stopped seeing ourselves as the church, as the authoritative agency or the authoritative entity, but instead saw us as more of an authorizing agency, an authorizing entity. Jesus is the authority. But he's given us a task to do. He's made the mission clear for us. And we can empower and unleash each other in that mission. So who are we to think that we have the authority to say the how or the what? Jesus is the author and the perfecter, the finisher. He is the one who has entrusted this mission to us. And I know it gets a little bit confusing because it's like, and teach them to obey all the things that I have commanded you. Whoo! I mean, it would be hard to know all the things Jesus commanded. It'd be even harder to teach every one of those things. We'd be here, trust me, these sermons would be a lot more boring. Not that they aren't already. But Jesus took all of the confusion out of that. Again, he not only gave us the great commission, but he gave us the great commandment. He says this in Matthew 22, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your mind. And this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So he's like, don't even worry about an exhaustive list of all the things I've tried to teach you. If you would go do these two things, you learn them all. Amen. Love me with all of you. Love each other. So Jesus showed us what the mission is, and then he showed us how to do it. So, okay, all right, yeah, Pastor Derek, maybe you've changed my mind. Maybe I understand the mission of the church now. The mission of the church is to live out the Great Commission, the Great Commandment. Good luck, Pastor Derek. Good luck, Makers Church. Good luck, the rest of the Big C Church. Have fun trying to do that. Don't we love doing that? We just defer. We're like, yeah, that's a great thing. You should go do that. Whose job is it to do this mission? The church's, right? Yeah, the church's job. Who's the church? We are. You're getting this. The church is not 3810 Bancroft Street. This building can't do that. This building is so ineffective and insufficient. Is it my job? Yeah, it's my job. Is it the staff's job? Yeah, it's our job. But it doesn't end with us. Why? Because who is supposed to make on earth as it is in heaven, as we say in our mission statement? Whose job is that? It's your job. If you are in Christ, you are part of the church. If you have said yes to Jesus, to follow him, you are on the team. It's not like the fire department. You don't have to apply and go through the academy and go through probation and get approved to ride on this rig or that. No, no, no. You just say yes, and then you're on the team. You don't even have to say, put me in, coach. He already did. Whether you like it or not. And you might be standing on the field going, I don't know what to do with my hands. I don't know what to do with that. And I get it. That can become so confusing. You feel so unqualified. I don't know what to do. How do I do that? I don't know how to, you know, we've laid our mission statement out as a church to encompass all these things I've been talking about. We, as Makers Church, we exist to make on earth as it is in heaven. We have that because, well, we believe that in order for to be a mission-driven culture, we have to start with the end in mind. What Jesus says that he's reclaiming, he's renewing, he's restoring all things, that in the end, heaven and earth will be renewed. He said this is an already but not yet reality. We get to play a part in bringing that about, participants with that. So we as a church, we get to make on earth as it is in heaven. And you're going, I don't know what that means. Not only do I know what to do about it. And then we say it like this, we do that by developing and commissioning followers of Jesus. I don't know how to develop and commission followers of Jesus. To do what? To love God and love others. And you might go, Derek, that's a great mission statement. This should be on the website. It is. That's a great mission statement. It should be painted on the wall somewhere. It's not, but it could be. Oh, I love the way you phrase that. It's not about being poetic or cute. It's about being clear about what God has entrusted us with. And that mission isn't for me. It's not for Mark and Shalise because we're the pastors at this church. It's not just for us. It's for you. Yes, you. I know you looked to the person to your right or your left or up. And you're like, not me. Clearly not me. No, you. This is it. This is what we must change our thinking about if we want to be effective as the church. Nothing else matters. The mission of the church must become the mission of your life because you are the church. And I get it. You're like, I don't work at a church. I'm not going to wake up every morning thinking about the mission of God. If you don't, we lose. If you don't, we won't. We won't. Who else but us? Yes, you. And I think the most beautiful part is we don't have to collectively do groupthink about the how. It's individual. Listen to what the scriptures say. We don't all have to go do the same thing. This is the trap that we fall into. Oh, that looks like it's really working. We really should go do that thing. And then you give it a go and you're terrible at it. It's because you weren't made for it. Because God designed you uniquely and purposefully for a contribution that only you can make. Romans 12, verse 3 says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Some of you have that problem. But some of you have the other problem. You think of yourself too lowly. But rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us as one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts. According to the grace, these are gifts. You did nothing to get them, but you can grow them. According by the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Quit trying to be the same type of Christian every other Christian is being. Understand the mission. Know what the mission is. And then use all of your God-given creativity, all of your God-given gifting, all of your God-given potential, and go do it. We don't have to be guided by the what's and the whatnots, the do's and the don'ts. We've got to be guided by the why. God has entrusted us to go make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them, teaching them to obey the things I've commanded. How? By loving God first with all of yourself and then loving each other as yourself. All of those other things we talked about, they fit into that. Telling people about Jesus, absolutely. Working towards understanding the truth, yes. But why? So that we can live this mission. I'm over time, but I'm going to keep going for a few minutes because I think this is so important. Ephesians 4:11. Actually, before that, let me get just real practical. How do you, as a member of the bride of Christ, as a part of the body, take it upon yourself to develop and commission followers of Jesus Christ? How do you go make disciples? I know what you do. You do this. You show up and you go, Maker's Church doesn't have a great discipleship process. I'm going to go find another church that has a better discipleship track. You know whose job it is to disciple people? Yours. No, we're going to work together at making some sense of this and working on some stuff that we think might be helpful. But that's your job. We get so much heat for this, and I'm not angry about it. I just think it's funny. Go make disciples of all nations. Yeah, who should do that? You. You are responsible for developing and commissioning other followers of Jesus to love God and love others. I came to Christ in high school. How did we do that? I came to Christ in high school. And I was part of a church. I said yes, to not only to God, but to a community. I was cleaning out my closet, not the Eminem song, but we're remodeling our house. And we're getting rid of a hutch. And the hutch had a bunch of old memories in them just this week. And my wife found this letter from a pastor of my church. And I was a kid. He took the time to write me this letter. It says, Dear Derek, I didn't even know this guy that well. Pretty big church. Just a kid. Dear Derek, I want to affirm the gifts that God has given you. You want to know how to develop and commission others? Affirm the gifts God has given the people that are around you. Affirm the gifts. Identify them. Call them up. Call them out. He says, you have been gifted in the area of music. See, Mark? I've been trying to be on the worship team for 12 years. You've been gifted in the area of music, worship. You have a tender heart, and ultimately, I see leadership abilities. I didn't see any of this. As a kid who had just come to Christ. I'm not proclaiming this name it and proclaim it thing, speaking into existence thing. No, I'm a see it and call it out and affirm it in each other type thing. No, this is the best part. He didn't just affirm me. You don't know all of my story. Some of you do, but I was basically a foster kid in high school. I lived with an adoptive family. I can't claim foster. My parents moved, and I moved in with another family that took me into their home. And I love this. He says, how fortunate you have been to have a place like the Isaacs to stay at and to live with. I am sure that it's not easy on them. I'm sure he was sure, because I'm sure old Stan Isaac had an old conversation with Pastor Grayson about what a pain in the butt I was for them. I would encourage you, if you haven't already, to be sure to constantly thank them for the sacrifice that they are making. Oh, he didn't just affirm. Homie's correcting me in the next paragraph. He's calling me out. He's called me up. He's calling me out. He says, I was just thinking the other day of how they've opened their home. They, meaning the whole family, yeah, the 9-year-old kid who I shared a room with. And I'm sure that it's a challenge. I'm sure he was sure it was a challenge. I'd come to Christ, but boy, I was still a punk kid. I know what this is like because we have opened up our home. How do you develop a commission? Open your home. Open your life to other people. I'm so thankful you have a Christian home like that to be a part of. God's richest blessings to you in the coming days. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continue to be upon your life, making you tender and transparent. P.S. Heard you did a great job at Heartland as a camp that I served at. And I want to affirm your ministry there. Are we doing these kind of things for each other? Because it is not that hard. I wouldn't be standing right here preaching this message without letters like this, without friendships and conversations and people pouring into my life over and over again. And this is what we get to do for each other. And in doing that, we're living on mission. Developing, commissioning, sending followers of Jesus to go love God and love others, correcting and affirming along the way. We must do this. And you're the one to do it. Look, no one told him exactly what. No, Derek needs a letter from you, Pastor Grayson. That's your job and your responsibility as a pastor of the church. No, he was being guided by the Holy Spirit. He was listening. He was obeying. He was doing the things that God had commanded him to do. Look, church. The mission of the church should become the mission of your life. And it starts when we start understanding that the church is us, that you are a part of it, that it's a place where you get to serve others and not just show up looking to have your needs met. And we practice, and we practice, and we practice, and we practice loving God and loving others. Would you pray with me? God, would you forgive me for going over time? And would you forgive us for deferring the mission to some logo or name or building or pastor or person? God, may you change our thinking this morning to know that it is us that you are entrusting with this. God, we know we don't know exactly what to do next, and that's okay. We have each other to help discern it. God, we know we're going to mess up along the way. It's okay. We have your grace and the grace of each other to sustain us. God, it's not about being perfect or getting it right. It's about responding with our lives to what you have entrusted us with. May we all see ourselves as missionaries to each other, to our neighborhoods, to our communities, to our workplaces. May we all understand that by the power of your Holy Spirit, God, that you are equipping us. And God, for us, it's not ready, set, go. It's go, ready, set. God, you want us to go immediately. Yeah. Not once we feel like we have it all understood and figured out. And God, may we know that we don't have to go it alone. God, we have the power of your Holy Spirit. We have the intimacy of community with each other. God, would you change our thinking? That leads to us changing the way we feel, that leads to us changing the way we act, that leads to us changing the way we behave. And God, that brings a cultural shift in the church that is so mighty, God, that the world may actually see how good and how beautiful and how much love you have for the world. May they see it in us by the way we love each other. May we be the light on a hill that cannot be covered. May we be the salt and the light, God. May we be all the things that you've declared of us. Move mightily in us. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.